Okay. This House Health Education and Social Service meeting is called to order. Let the record show that the time is 8:50, Thursday, March 31st, 2005. And we have our helpers today. My HESS committee aide is Kathy Hope Erickson. Our secretary is Ellen Nodder, and our LIO moderator is Elizabeth Hostaff. And anyway, our agenda today is to confirm our hearings for the University of Alaska Board of Regents, and let the record show that we have present our Representative Coring, Representative Gardner, Representative Cisna, and myself, Wilson. We are going to hear Mr. Tim Brady of Anchorage, and are you online, Tim?
Yes, I'm here.
Sorry for the delay this morning. We have all kinds of meetings going on everywhere, and
I understand.
So we've called this meeting. This isn't even the time we normally meet, but we're trying to do this. And so, Tim, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us why you want to serve where in the university here for on the Board of Regents?
Certainly. Good morning, all. I'm born and raised Alaskan. I'm married, have two young children, a son age 10 and a daughter age 8. I'm in the construction business. I manage a family-owned business still owned by the Brady family. We've been in business. Well, my folks started the business in 1954, and you know, we're still here, and we've enjoyed, you know, considerable success through the years, and you know, been here when markets have been strong and when markets have been weak. But you know, I tell people we're still here. We've seen an awful lot of competitors certainly come and go. You know, I guess from what I said, you know, a couple of years ago when Governor Murkowski was elected, I let him know that you know, well, of course I was very pleased with the results, but I let him know that if there's anything that I could do to help, you know, during his term in office, you know, just to let me know. And here, wouldn't you know it, here a couple years later, he gives me a call and says he'd like to, you know, appoint me to the Board of Regents. And I was very flattered and honored and certainly willing to serve. From where I sit, you know, I guess I've kind of alluded that you know, Alaska has been very, very good to my family and my extended family. There's probably, between my dad's family and my uncle's family, there's about 50 of us that live up here now. And, you know, we've all enjoyed, you know, pretty good success in a number of different, you know, business endeavors. And I just look at this as a great opportunity to put something back into the state that's been so good to us. I am particularly interested in anything to do with educating young people, whether it's, you know, grade school, high school, or at the college level. And I think that we have a very dynamic university system. I think we have an exceptional leader in Mark Hamilton. And I would very much relish and appreciate the opportunity to participate in the process and see what I can, you know, what I can bring to the table. You know, my strengths, certainly, I plan and organize things for a living. That's what I do. I'm very, very good at that. I have a very good, I know my way around budgets very, very well because I have to deal with those, you know, in my day job. And certainly when it comes to capital improvements or development of, you know, the university's facilities, I certainly know what those cost and actually what they should cost. So, you know, we have, through the years, we have done, oh, quite a bit of work for the university. A couple examples, we did the business education building in UAA, the Westridge Natural Science Facility up in Fairbanks. A year ago, we completed the Ecosystem Biological Lab, you know, in the Anchorage campus. And I do understand, because I asked the governor, I just said, gee, do I, you know, should I be, you know, confirmed for this appointment? I mean, does that preclude me from working for the university? And I guess the opinion from the attorney general was, yes, it does. It precludes me from you know, bidding on any university work. And I certainly understand that that's just, you know, that will just be part of the, you know, that's just part of the job. And I understand that, and I'm certainly willing to accept that. But that's the short version, I guess.
Okay, thank you. Well, that's That could be quite a sacrifice then, because you've been involved with some of these buildings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for I would say that I admire you for knowing what the ramifications are if you get this appointment and still saying you want to do it. Do you have any questions? Representative Sisna has a question for you.
I sure do. And is this one, do we push it beyond? No.
Bro.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Mr. Brady, as you know from your building experience on the UAA campus, that part of Anchorage is growing at an incredible rate. Probably the heart of that are the billions of dollars that are made in the health services that are really make up the core of that area, and it's a huge campus. It's actually not just UAA, but it includes hospitals and other treatment programs. And one of my big concerns has been here in the legislature looking at how in the world we meet the training needs we need for the health industry. It is billions of dollars. It is the leading employer in the state, the health industry is. And the University of Alaska Anchorage is the core of the of that applied discipline. And so I was wondering, have you thought about how not only building buildings, but building programs certainly the campus-wide, but making sure that we do take advantage of that applied factor that takes place in Anchorage? What kind of thinking have you maybe done on that part?
Well, I'm pretty new to the process, so frankly, not very much. But I do have a couple of comments. One thing, from what I said, just as a citizen of Anchorage, and an observer of what happens in our community, you know, there, in my opinion, and again, this is just opinion, but there was a bit of a sea change within the university philosophy here of several years ago. And the sea change was, well, instead of just churning out kids with, you know, these rubber stamp diplomas or programs that mirror what's, you know, how they do it outside, it seems to me that the university has done a great job responding to the needs of the community, you know, to wit the nursing program. I mean, the hospital, you know, regional and Providence went to the university and said, we don't have enough nurses. I mean, we are never going to have enough nurses. It doesn't matter how many, you know, what happens, we aren't going to have enough. Because exactly as you say, the health care industry is booming. And you know, and based on the demographics of not just our community, but, you know, the nation, that's just going to continue to boom. But I think the university did a great job in getting a nursing program up and running that could help meet the demands of the community. The other thing that's been done that I'm really, really very, very proud of, because I had little bit to do with this, is, you know, those of us in the construction industry, I mean, it's driving us nuts. You know, we have, our industry is booming right now. From where I sit, I don't see much slowing this train down for the next 5 to 10 years. I just really, really don't. You know, I could be wrong, but I see this continuing. Well, you know, one of the problems we have, and as you guys are very well aware, is when we take these kids that come out of high school, they go out to, like in my case, I went out to Arizona State University, out of high school, and I'd never really been out of the state of Alaska before, and I went down to Arizona, and I found out what a winter could be like, you know, someplace else. And when I'm sitting down here, it's 75 degrees outside in the middle of January, it's beautiful. And, you know, what happens, as you well know, is that a lot of people, you know, they leave and they don't come back. Well, what's the university done? Well, what we've done, you know, through my trade association, the Associated General Contractors and others, is, you know, we now have a 2-year associate degree construction engineering program, soon to be a 4-year program. And you know what? And so what's going to happen is we're going to keep these kids at home, and then they're going to stay home, and they're going to work here. I look at the program that President Hamilton started a few years ago with the top 10% of the kids getting free education. You know, Mark spoke at Rotary here a week or so ago, and I hope I have this correct, but we're now into that program about 5 years, so now we're seeing the dividends of that program. And if I remember his numbers correctly, 86% of the kids that went through that program, you know, now live and work in Alaska. So, you know, that's a huge success story in and of itself. You know, so anyway, I hope I'm answering your question, but it seems to me that the university, one, has an obligation to respond to the needs, you know, of the community as far as producing, you know, qualified people to fill local available jobs. And I think they've done a great job in the nursing program, and I sure like what's happening in the construction program.
Madam Chair.
Follow-up representative.
Thank you very much, and I do apologize asking you sort of and throwing in another thing, but this is the Health and Social Services Committee, so I think it's
right.
Probably appropriate. But there's about something like 200 specialties in health,
mm-hmm.
and nursing is one of them. The nursing program at the University of Alaska is pumping out as fast as it can,
right.
but it could be expanded, and these other specialties need to be addressed as well. And it is an engineering problem, I'm sure it is. So I would just welcome talking with you at some point about the about that possibility, because there's some real promise, but we could lose that potential if we didn't do it right.
I'm all for doing whatever we can do to keep our, you know, really our most valuable assets at home. I really am. I mean, and I think, again, from where I sit, I think the university is starting to make, you know, take some appropriate steps, you know, to do just that. I mean, you know, it's very, very frustrating for me as an employer when I have to go, you know, I have to go outside the state of Alaska to find qualified, you know, help, because there just aren't enough, you know, young project managers or engineers in Alaska that you know, to fill the positions. You know, and you guys can very much appreciate what happens. I mean, this just happened to me last year. I hired a young man out of Texas. I mean, just a really sharp young guy. Sent him up to Fairbanks to do a job for us. And as oftentimes happens, is his wife, you know, delightful young lady, she basically said, "Well, I'm going back to Texas, and if you want to come with me, that's fine." Now, that happens a lot. It happens a lot, because, you know, Alaska's not for everybody. It just isn't. You know, those of us who were, you know, we've been here forever, it's our home. We can't think of it in any other way. But I am all for doing whatever we can do to try to keep kids at home. And I think if that's probably going to really just entail providing the, you know, appropriate educational opportunities for them. And I really think, again, I think that the university has made some great strides in the last few years. You know, because there was a time, you know, I'm thinking back now, but there was a time when, you know, my trade association, we went to the university and said, "Hey, this is what we think we'd like to see you guys do, you know, a construction type program." And we were just rebuffed. I mean, basically sent packing like, "No, we don't do that." And so there's been kind of a sea change in recognizing that, gee, you know, we are a real important part of this community, and we have an obligation to respond to the needs of the community. And I think that's really what you're saying. And I don't pretend to understand, you know, what the health care needs are of our, you know, hospital systems. But certainly, you know, we have an obligation to do the best we can to, you know, fulfill those needs and do it locally.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. I have a question.
Sure.
In Alaska, from the time a student hits eighth grade until they graduate from college, less than 20% of our students finish college.
Right.
And that tells me that more than 80% of the kids don't finish college, and we have to be preparing them for other ways to make a living. And even though the university is in the direction of providing a full education as possible, and some nursing programs don't take the full 4 years, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is that we have to have other programs in place, and probably within the university, probably more than we do now, to try to help kids prepare and train so that they can have other jobs in the private sector. And as you know, we're going to be seeing a big building bust going on, boom, I guess I should say, going on in the near future, all connected with this pipeline and what that entails. Are you willing to kind of try to help steer the university into realizing that there's other types of programs that our kids in this state desperately need?
Boy, let me get my soapbox out. You're kind of telling Noah about the flood here. We make a lot of serious mistakes in our educational system. One mistake we make is that we operate under the assumption, or we gear the education towards the assumption that all kids are going to college. You know what? That just doesn't happen. And you know, out of your numbers are, as I understand them, are exactly correct. I mean, a little over half the kids will go to college. Of that, less than half will actually graduate. But what are we doing with the other 75 or 80% of the kids? Well, I can tell you one thing that we're trying to do, at least in my industry. And the short answer to your question is yes. I'm willing to try to maybe come up with something that's a little bit more diverse and maybe a little more technical oriented. You know, the Anchorage School District spends less than 2% of its budget on technical type training or trades training. You know, I mean, it's just not enough. And like one thing that we have tried to do in our industry, because in my industry right now, you go out to one of our job sites, mm-hmm. and when you see that the average age of the typical worker out there is mid to late 40s, you kind of shake your head and go, wow, this is interesting. You know, because as we sit here today, things have improved a lot. But, you know, for a while there, we did not have people getting into the trades at all. You know, and there's nothing. And another maybe negative aspect of our system is our system tends to demean, you know, construction trades. Well, you know, and really it's based on a lot of bad information. One thing that we've done through the Associate General Contractors is we have a program called Build Up, where people like me, you know, go into a fifth grade classroom. We spend, you know, I think the typical deal is about 22, 23 hours, and all we're doing is we're letting them know what the industry is really about, what the different trades are, what the different design disciplines are, you know, and just what opportunities are really available, you know, and right down to, you know, my favorite part of that is when I tell kids, you know, what the, you know, financially how rewarding it can be. I always enjoy that part because the teacher in the back, their jaw usually hits the floor. Because they just have no idea that, you know, that what a good living a person can make. And the other myth that we have to deal with a lot is that it's seasonal. Well, you know, construction in Alaska isn't seasonal anymore. It just isn't. You know, we're going 12 months a year. We're going 90 miles an hour all year long. But I think you're exactly right. And, you know, is a university the right vehicle to do that? Probably is. It probably is. You know, exactly what that's going to entail, I just don't know. But I again, the short answer to your question is yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions for Mr. Brady?
I suppose I could throw it out here.
Okay, Representative Coring.
Drop a bombshell here, I guess.
It's relatively common knowledge among most, Mr. Brady, that rural campuses are exorbitantly expensive. When I chaired the budget committee that oversaw the spending for the Chukchi campus, for example, of the university, it was something like, this was as of perhaps 5 years ago, $50,000 per student to educate, as far as the costs that were incurred for one student there per year. What are your thoughts toward that? Do you think is that a good expenditure of our monies, or perhaps should we consolidate the campuses and focus our resources more for the benefit of a larger number of people?
Well, you know, that's a real good question, and I don't know that I can offer a real good answer with just the limited knowledge that I have at this point. But certainly, you know, right now, I guess the state feels pretty flush, you know, and you guys know this better than I do. But the assumption is that, gee, you know, we've oil prices high, we have money. But, you know, in the long term, I guess I just don't know how reasonable it's going to be to try to sustain that, you know, based on what, you know, future budgets that may be available. I honestly don't know, but I certainly think that's something that somebody's going to have to spend some time and look at. You know, at the same time, you know, do we owe it to these kids to provide you know, educational opportunities, you know, to them? Well, we do, but I guess everything, you know, everything does come at a price. I really can't answer that question, you know, intelligently. I guess I don't feel like I have enough information to do it justice. To be real frank with you, but certainly I guess it's something that would need to be looked at. And I don't, you know, I have no idea. I don't even know how many extended campuses, you know, the university system really has at this point. I mean, there's a lot to learn, obviously.
Well, I appreciate your honesty, sir. Thank you very much. And I sure. must say that I'm very impressed with his resume. I come from a private sector background. I was going to ask you for a job in drywall, but I don't have the physical ability to be able to do that anymore. But you seem eminently qualified, and pleased that you come from such a solid private background as opposed to a government sector. Not that I'm anti-government, but we need to have a good balance on that Board of Trustees, which includes having folks with backgrounds as you have. So it's good to have you.
Well, good. Well, thank you very much. And again, I'm very honored even to be considered.
Also, I just have a comment. Probably, Vic, is I'm guessing that in the last 5 years, the campuses are there's a lot more people involved because there's a lot more distance education, and so I bet we would see, and I don't know how that's set up, but I bet you that because we have expanded the offerings for people in the rural areas, that number is a lot less now. I don't know that, but I'm just guessing that probably is. But anyway.
Are you ready for a motion, ma'am?
I am ready for a motion, but not quite. We're waiting for one more member, so we have a quorum. So, Tim, just hang in there.
Sure.
We had one member that had to leave quickly because of a bill in another committee, but hopefully we'll be able to see that person pop in the door any minute so that we have a quorum. And it might just be better if we make this totally legal.
yeah, that would be.
So I think that person probably will be coming up the hall shortly.
Okay, I have a question for Representative Cisna.
Yes, go right ahead.
Wonderful.
That is a personal deal. Was your father Pete?
Oh, was there a Pete Cisna? Huh.
Yeah.
No, but it had to be somebody related because there aren't that many Cisnas.
Okay.
And whereabouts was this Pete from?
Well, my father was in the legislature in the mid-60s with, I might not even have the name right, but with a Cisna, I thought. Does that sound possible?
In the mid-60s. There was a Cisna family from Kodiak, but I don't think that family served in the legislature. So I've not seen, and I'm the only person in the historic book with the Cisna name, so it may have been Cessna.
It could have been. But anyway, he just really spoke very highly of him. You know, that's been almost 40 years ago.
Oh, wow. But well, neat. Well, if you find out where this person was from, let me know.
I'm gonna actually. I think that we have a. There's a. I'll do that. I'll do that because that's got my curiosity up.
And you said your dad was in the legislature in the mid-60s.
Yeah, both my dad and my uncle were in. Oh, my father went down in '66 with Governor Hickel and, you know, a lot of other business, you know, and community leaders. And then my uncle was in the House, I think, in 62 when, I think he was elected in 62, and then he was elected to the Senate in, I think, 66, and he was there, had a couple terms in the Senate.
How neat. I came down here as an aide in 71, but I don't think you had family here at that point, I think.
No, they weren't down there, because Carl was out, I think he was out as of 68, I think. I think he was done.
Oh, neat.
Right.
Well, there's this long history of people that return to the center stage that have family roots here.
Yeah.
It just seems to be new generations coming in and taking leadership. It's wonderful.
You know, Alaska is really a pretty, you know, we're a huge, vast state, but we're a pretty small community. You know, I mean, when you really think about it, because I mean, at least in my experience, I keep running into the same people doing different things, you know. But
that is so true. I'm totally amazed at when I go to the airport here, you know, I see people I know all the time.
All the time.
And when I was in North Carolina, you could go to the airport and not see one single person you know.
That's right.
But you go to the boardroom in Seattle while you're waiting for your flight. Mm. I mean, you know, half the people in the room.
Yep.
You know, it's just the way it is. But hey, but you know, but that's part of the charm of living here. And I, you know, from where I sit, I mean, I think that even for a big, even you know, even a city in Anchorage, you know, Anchorage is a fair sized city, but it's still a very small community.
Yep.
You know, and I don't know, I kind of like it that way, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's the best. The state is the best. Okay, we have a member, huh?
Representative Gardner has just popped back into the room. So we're ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I move that the Health Educational Services Committee, their script is not quite right here. The HES Committee has reviewed the qualifications of Tim Brady, so therefore I move that forward his name to the joint session for a consideration to appointment to the University of Alaska Board of Regents.
And hearing no objections, so you, congratulations, Tim. You are now an official appointee, and we will pass this on, and I believe maybe either yet this week or maybe next week we will have a joint session on the floor and make those appointments official.
Well, great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
today.
Your time and your consideration.
Okay. I guess it's going to happen today. My goodness.
That's what I had heard.
Yeah.
The governor's office had mentioned that they thought it was going to be today at 11 o'clock or something
okay,
like that.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
This meeting is recessed.